The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Weekday evenings on FM 101.5 and AM 1400, The Patriot. It's 6 o'clock talk with Daryl Wood. Host Daryl Wood brings you the day's news and trending topics as only he can, with a unique blend of conservative opinion, constitutionalism, and thought-provoking analysis. Join the conversation. 6 o'clock talk with Daryl Wood. A daily look at the news in a way you won't hear anywhere else. Tune in to 6 o'clock talk with Daryl Wood on FM 101.5 and AM 1400, The Patriot. Or stream at patriotdetroit.com.
You are in what part of the country?
Southwest Colorado.
Wonderful. How are you picking us up?
Oh, I stream you guys on my iPhone every day.
Fantastic.
I am a resident of Sterling Heights, but I frequently come to Southwest Colorado.
I am just thrilled to be hearing from you out there in Colorado. Continue to listen, tune in again, and call at your earliest convenience. Godspeed.
Run to Win with Daryl Wood, Monday through Friday at 4 p.m. on Faith Talk Detroit.
Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we've got a great show for you today. In this half hour of the show, we will be featuring a rebroadcast of an interview a couple of years ago with Yossi Frommerman of Matzah.biz. We'll talk about Shmura Matzah. Passover is coming up. The first Seder is on the 22nd. And by the way, if you need matzah, you can contact me at rabbifinman.com. We're talking about if you're in the Detroit area and you need the special Shmura Matzah for your Seder, you want it, or you want to talk about it, you'll listen to this interview, then you can contact me. And also, if you're in need of a public Seder, contact me, because we're doing public Sedarim at Jewish Ferndale both nights. So contact me at rabbifinman.com. We'll take care of you. In the second half hour of the show, we're going to feature some insights into the portion of the week, which is Metzorah, Leviticus chapter 12 and following. We've got wonderful music all over the place. We've got a really very interesting, almost hair-raising Hasidic story at the end. So let's just go to this archived edition of Yossi Frommerman. Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. We're on live with Yossi Frommerman, who is the director of Matzah Biz, one of the larger Shmura Matzah distributors in the country, if not the world. And we're going to be talking about Shmura Matzah. Passover is coming up, of course, in just a few short weeks. And we really emphasize that people should get Shmura Matzah specifically. How are you today, Yossi?
I'm well, Rabbi. Thank you. How are you?
Good. But thank God. Thank you for asking. Okay. So, Passover. Everybody knows that there's this stuff you're supposed to eat, the unleavened bread. I get this all the time, and people come up to me and say, what's this unleavened bread stuff? So, what's the deal behind the unleavened bread, which we call matzah, Yossi?
Well, matzah, we eat matzah on Passover because that was the bread that our ancestors ate when they exited Egypt. They didn't have time to let the dough rise, so it was the quickest food that they had available to them. And in order to commemorate that, we eat matzah every year at the Seder.
Cool. So, what is it? What can be matzah? What can't be matzah? I mean, if we think there's a cracker, so there's all kinds of crackers now.
Okay, so there are five. There are five grains that can be used. The preferable one is wheat, but you could also use spelt. You could also use oat, rye, and barley, I think, is the fifth.
Mm-hmm.
For people that have health issues, they would probably, health issues, I mean, that they don't have wheat tolerance. They could go with spelt. For those that can't deal with gluten, they could go with oat. But the preferred one for healthy people is wheat.
Would that be because we're going to assume that the Jews in Egypt ate wheat matzah?
I don't know. I think the preferred one, it's brought down to the code of Jewish law, that this one, we know the Kabbalah of wheat. What that means is its source, its origin. We know that wheat has always been used forever and then some, while spelt, we're not sure if the spelt that we have today is the spelt that's talking about in the Bible, for that matter, oat as well. And, you know, with genetic engineering, we're not sure about the wheat today either, but that's a different discussion. But we do have a very, very well-documented, knowledge of wheat. We know how long it takes wheat before it begins to rise, and therefore the dough has to be, from start to finish, completely done in less than 18 minutes. Once you violate the 18 minutes, there's a chance, a very good chance, that it starts to rise and become chametz, which makes it invalid for Pesach.
Chametz meaning leavening. Yeah, so, okay, so now let's talk a little further about this. So what we're really concerned about is there's lots of ways to make crackers. I remember as a kid, my mother was teaching me how to bake and handle around the kitchen. And I came up with this recipe for saltines. And I said, can we make saltines? And my mother just looked at me and said, you're going to go through all that effort, and you know when you get done, you're going to have a pile of saltines. I mean, it's just like, so tell us about the inns. There's different matzahs. Most people, when they associate with matzah, the vast majority of matzah, which is sold around the world, is the square machine matzah. So give us a little insight. What are the restrictions? How is that bacon? What makes that matzah and not just a saltine?
I'm not as familiar with machine matzah. I'm a little more familiar with the hand matzah, mm-hmm. but what I do know a little bit about the machine matzah is that it's done quickly. The process has to be done from the time that water hits the flour. No other additives added. It has to be done within 18 minutes from start to finish. The machine, because it's a continuous process, so there is certain leniencies where they allow, where rabbis allow machine matzah to be used, because it's a next batch of 18 minutes, a next batch of 18 minutes. The problem with that could be that if there's any residual or residue left from the previous 18-minute batch, you may run into a real problem of the residue from the previous batch contaminating the new batch. So, therefore, a large number of Jews prefer eating the hand matzah, especially for the two Seder nights.
Okay, let's talk about that. Go ahead. If you're just joining us, our guest today is Yossi Frimmerman from Matzah Biz, one of the major distributors of Shmura Matzah throughout the country. Tell us about Shmura Matzah, which is like super primo grade matzah, Yossi Frimmerman.
You start from the very beginning. From the time that they harvest the grain, through the entire process, the grain is watched. No water is allowed to, you can't cut that grain on a rainy day because the water may interfere and possibly get stuck within the kernels, and later on it watch that. They take that grain, they bring it to the mill, they grind it, various different fine grinds. Some are completely 100% whole wheat. They take during the process of grinding, they sift out certain things that doesn't make it whole, that doesn't allow it to be
so
called.
It's more like a white wheat, but it's not bleached. I'm sure they're not putting any type of thing.
No,
like
definitely
that.
Not. The same is done with spelt. The same is done with the oat, barley, and
rye.
And rye, I don't think it's ever used for matzah.
Rye matzah would be really intense, and I don't think barley matzah would necessarily work so well. So I can understand that. Okay, so now let's just to give the idea, there is something called sprouted grain bread out there. I'm not going to mention names because none of them are my sponsors, but they're not really sprouted. What they do is they take the wheat and they soak it for just a couple of hours, and they say that causes a reaction with the water and the thing that it already starts the kernel to sprout, which is exactly what we don't want, even from the time of harvesting in our shmurah matzah. Is that correct, Yossi Frimmerman?
I believe that's correct.
Okay, so now shmurah matzah still is like. A lot of people heard of matzah. Shmurah matzah has become more popular. How long are you involved in the matzah business?
I'm guessing 40 plus years.
40 years you're involved with matzah. How much would you say has the shmurah matzah market grown in 40 years? 40 years ago was the late 1970s.
Well, back then I used to import two containers a year. A container contains a little over 10,000 pounds. Today, I import well over 20 containers.
Okay.
So if you could do the math.
Right there, that's 10 times. It's tenfold.
At least.
Okay, but then you also have a domestic market that you you handle.
That's besides. I mean, there's some people that prefer the domestic, others prefer the imports. The imports are less expensive because labor in Israel or labor in the Ukraine. Is less than labor in America, so there's a price thing. But the American matzah, the quality certainly is there. And I must say that the imports are improving. They're improving. They're challenging the quality of the American matzah. The problem with the imports are the American matzah. You could have matzah that was baked within the past month, while the imports. You're at least 2-3 months behind because there's the shipping aspect of it. It has to get here. It takes over a month to get here. So you have to deal. You're not dealing with as fresh matzah as you are with the American.
Okay. So does that matter? I will tell you a story involving myself. Is once I was working on a college campus. And I approached a matzah distributor. It was not you. And said, listen, I have all these college students. I don't have a budget. What could you do for me? And he said, it just so happens I have a carton of matzah, which is 20 pounds, which is 5 years old. It got lost in a warehouse someplace. It was way in the back. And I said, well, is it edible? He said, you're welcome to try it. So I tried this matzah that was 5 years old, and it tasted exactly like the matzah that came out of the oven the day before yesterday. So there's nothing in matzah to go stale, because stale means that all the air left, and there's no air in matzah by definition. It never rose. So that's as
no
far
air,
as...
There's no moisture. That is true. If it's stored properly, it could last for more than a year. That's not a problem. If it's not stored properly,
it'll mold.
It'll pick up humidity. It'll mold, and it's not edible.
Right, indeed.
I will tell you, don't as a rule, don't eat 5-year old matzah.
We didn't eat it. We distributed it.
Okay.
Indeed. So let's. I'm going to talk about, since people are very involved with environment and carbon footprints. Let's talk about the advantages of, say, eating an imported matzah versus eating a domestic matzah. This is going to take a whole different turn in the discussion. The reason you mentioned that the reason why that the European and the Israeli matzah are those basically the Israel and the Ukraine are basically the only two other areas outside of the United States where they are making shmor matzah. The reason
that are exporting to America. Yes.
Okay. The reason I think is there not a matzah bakery in Moscow? I would think
there is. It's only for
Moscow. Yeah, it's only for Russian consumption. Yeah. Okay. So are we concerned about, say, are the people who are working in these matzah bakeries in Israel and in the Ukraine, are they making a living wage? Are they being treated properly? A matzah bakery could get very hot because of the ovens, and it could really turn into a sweatshop, as opposed to, say, maybe we really should be buying the American stuff. First of all, buy American, buy USA, and the workers there are receiving they get a living wage. Would you like to comment on that, please, Yossi Frimmerman?
The workers in all of these bakeries are getting a very living wage. If they don't get a proper wage, the workers are skilled in certain things that they do, they'll just go to another bakery. The bakeries here in America are now bringing in people from Israel and from the Ukraine because American labor, they really don't want to do this type of work. It's manual. It's physical manual labor. At the end of the day, you really need to take a major break, relax, go to sleep, and the next morning you're on your feet for 8, 9, 10 hours, constantly working with your hands, either rolling out the matzah or putting the matzahs into the oven or putting the holes in the matzah. It's quite difficult. So the workers are skilled and they're in demand. If they're not treated well at the Israeli bakeries or at the bakery in the Ukraine, they'll just go elsewhere. It's not. It's as simple as that. They are paid properly. As a matter of fact, the biggest Jewish employer in the Ukraine, the city of Dnepropetrovsk, is the matzah bakery. And
very
they employ, I don't know, maybe 100, 150 people. And that community has a tremendous advantage at the bakeries there because they have employment for the people, maybe even more than 150 people.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so they have employment for them. And you know, through a backdoor way, you're kind of supporting that community there.
Indeed.
By buying Ukraine.
Indeed. Okay. Now, so how many matzah bakeries, shmura matzah bakeries, are there in the United States currently?
Well, they're all in the New York in the New York area. Let me try to mentally
count on your fingers.
Yes.
You count on it, because I'm going to say that 40 years ago, when I first started eating shmura matzah, I think there were maybe 4.
7, 8, 9. Right off the top of my head, I know that there were 10.
Okay, so in 40 years, it's gone from 4 bakeries. It was the one in Albany, and then the Satmar had one, and the Popover had one, and there was one in Borough Park 40 years ago. And now there are 10. So
at least 10.
Okay.
That's off the top of my head.
So now, is that the increase so that we've gone from, like you say, you imported 2 containers 40 years ago, now it's 20 containers. There were 4 bakeries, now there are 10. Is the growth through attrition, meaning families, this is like, we're now talking, in 40 years, you're talking 3 generations of people who are now eating matzah, or is it marketing and matzah is being distributed in a further radius? Yossi Frimmerman.
firstly, there's just natural growth. I mean, families, there are more families that want to have the Shmura Matzah, at least for the two nights of the Seder. There are more people like that. The families are bigger. I mean, I am already, my parents, now my generation, my children, my grandchildren. So right away, when I was a kid, we used to buy 3-4 pounds. That little group right now buys 100 pounds. And I'm sure it's the way, that's the way it is with many, 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 for hundreds and thousands of families. What I think a very large percentage of growth comes from outreach organizations such as Chabad, who have brought an awareness of Shmura Matzah to the public. I mean, you could walk into any supermarket in the within a Jewish in a Jewish clientele area, and you got people they can't even pronounce the word Shmura Matzah, but they do come in and they ask for where are those round matzah? I need a box for the Seder, and that awareness is done, and I think that's where most of the growth is. That awareness is done because people are getting closer and closer to their roots, and as a result of it, the demand is there.
Wonderful. What's, would you say, some of the more remote places where you distribute Tumats, Yossi Frimmerman?
Gee, I mean,
something that if you heard that that they were getting matzah, my eyebrow would go, really? Are you sending it any to the Antarctica or the Arctic Circle?
Well, if I had a way of getting it there, and I know that it would get there properly and on time, I do send matzahs to Alaska. Mm-hmm. I do send matzahs to Hawaii. Argentina is Brazil, all of South America, Chile, Paraguay, Uruguay, Bolivia, all of those South American countries. I sell as far as Australia, but that's not surprising because Australia has a very large
Jewish community.
Very large Jewish community. Let's see. I mean, Canada, all the way. All the way, from the East Coast to the West Coast.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure places like Iceland, which now has a Jewish community, and
I'm sure that they get, but they don't get from me. I mean, geography doesn't lend itself for me to distribute to Iceland, bring it to America, send it back to.
They probably go straight from the Ukraine. I would think.
I would indeed. Imagine.
Anyway, okay, this is wonderful. And I want to thank you so much. Our guest today has been Yossi Frimmerman from Matzah Biz, one of the country's largest Shmura Matzah distributors. If you are interested in Shmura Matzah, Herschel Femin, yours truly actually does distribute it in the greater Detroit area. If you're listening online or looking at us at Facebook or anything like that, I'm sorry, I don't mail it. You'll have to contact your local distributor. And we do have American whole wheat and Ukrainian whole wheat and spelt and gluten-free oat. Oh, that was one of the questions I did want to ask you about. If you needed to have a gluten grain, how does gluten-free oat work? Yossi.
Well, I'm not into the manufacturing of it, but there's a certain process that's used, which I'm not a farmer. I don't know how they take the gluten out of the oat, but that grain seems to lend itself to being gluten free. I know we're certified. We're certified by the.
It's got the GF on it.
The GF, and I think our hand Shmuramatz, I saw the report a couple of days ago. There's no detectables. That less than one part per million of gluten.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It was just not detectable. So I guess the farmer did a good job, and the bakery did a good job to make sure that they didn't contaminate it.
Wonderful.
Just don't forget it's the same bakery that does the wheat and does the oats. So it could be a real problem. Make sure there's no cross-contamination.
That's awesome. Okay, that is going to wrap it up for us. And we want to thank you so much for taking the time, and continued success, Yossi Frimmerman.
Thank you. Thank you. I want to wish you and all of your listeners a kosher and a happy Passover, and next year in Jerusalem.
Amen. Thank you so much. That's going to do it. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. I hope you found that informative. And again, if you would like to get your hands on some shmuramatz if you're in the Detroit area, contact me at rabbifinman.com. And again, if you're looking for a Passover Seder, well, rabbifinman.com. We're doing 2 public Seders at Jewish Ferndale on Monday and Tuesday night of the month of the holiday of Passover. This is not a Passover song, per se. It's more related to the times. It's Yaakov Shweki, no stranger to the Jewish Hour. The song is called Guf Neshama, which means body and soul. And it's more for what's going on out in the world. Let's listen.
תמיד בסוף היום יש איזה רגע קטן הלב שלי שוקע כשהאור נעלם קשה לי לראות בדרך אליך רציתי לדבר איתך על מה שבלב על רגע מאושר לא רק על מה שכואב עשה לי טובה אל תסתיר את פניך תמיד אתה יודע מתי אם התרחקתי מדי כמו ילד הולך לאיבוד צעקתי אליך שמע ישראל השם אלוקינו השם אחד שמע ישראל השם אלוקינו השם אחד מה זה גוף ונשמה בשביל מה רוצה להיות קרוב אליך שנה ועוד שנה בשביל מה ומי אני כאן בלעדיך רציתי לספר לך על יום שעבר תמיד אתה איתי גם במתוק גם במר רציתי להיות הטוב בעיניך תמיד אתה יודע אם התרחקתי מדי כמו ילד הולך לאיבוד צעקתי אליך שמע ישראל השם אלוקינו השם אחד שמע ישראל השם אלוקינו השם אחד מה זה גוף ונשמה בשביל
Hello.
We all know there's an opiate epidemic, but Advanced Rapid Detox has a solution for people addicted to pain pills, heroin, and dependent on Suboxone and methadone. Advanced Rapid Detox performs detox under sedation in the hospital. Patients sleep through withdrawals and wake up without cravings. Dr. Julia Aronoff and the staff at Advanced Rapid Detox help people restore their lives and the lives of their families. Addiction affects everyone, even in the Jewish community, and Advanced Rapid Detox is there to help. Call 800-603-1813. That's 800-603-1813, or visit them online at www.advancedrapiddetox.com. Herschel Finn, here you are listening to the Jewish Hour. This next song is dedicated to my newest grandnephew. His name is Yaakov Yisroel, after my brother of blessed memory. The song is called Shluf Shoin Mina Yankala, and sung by Yaakov Shapiro. And Yankala is a nickname for Yaakov. So this is I'm not so sure how old it is, but it's a lullaby. And it talks about just the kids, you know, should like go to sleep and everything's really okay is what the meaning of the words are. Let's listen.
Lose mir schon Yankele, mein Schöner. Die Egelach, die schwarzen Kämach zu. A Jingele, was hat schon alle Zeindele. Muss noch die Mame singen, ein Lulu. A Jingele, was hat schon alle Zeindele. Muss noch die Mame singen, ein Lulu. Eingele, was hat schon alle Zeindala und wird mit Masel bald in Cheder gehen und lernen wird er Chumesh und Gemore soll weinen, wenn die Mame wiegt ihm ein und lernen wird er Chumesh und Gemore soll weinen, wenn die Mame wiegt ihm ein. Eingele, was lernen wird gemore, und steht der Tate gefällt und hört sich zu. Eingele, was wächst der Tal mit Hochem, was ganze Nacht der Mame nicht zur Ruhe. A ingele was wächst a tal mit Hochem, was ganze nach der Mame nicht zu ruh. A ingele was wächst a tal mit Hochem, und nagenit zeucher euch zugleich. A ingele ha kluger chosn bocher, so liegen also in Asleinateich. A ingele, a kluger Chosmboche, so liegen also in Asleinateich. Derweil ich so in Wiegerle bei mir.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. Up next for your listening pleasure, this is the Or Yehuda Choir. The song is called Hit Nari Me'afar Kumi, which means lift me up from the dirt, which is a prayer that when the Messiah comes, I should be part of the resurrection. And we say it regularly in our liturgy. So they singing it very nicely. I like it. Let's listen.
Why go anywhere else when you go to One Stop Kosher? Located on Greenfield Road, just south of 696, you're never far from One Stop Kosher. At One Stop Kosher, you'll find the largest selection of Passover products in Michigan. One Stop Kosher carries thousands of kosher for Passover items, and over 100 Passover items are on sale now. They even have kosher for Passover pizza, hamburger buns, and cake. One Stop Kosher has the largest selection of kosher for Passover wines as well. It's One Stop Kosher on Greenfield Road in 696 for all your shopping needs. One Stop is now called Grove, and they've expanded and revitalized and modern and updated. You'll be very happy if you go to Grove on Greenfield Road and 696. Just a hop, skip, and a jump from anywhere in the major in the Metro Detroit area, and they have all your needs. This week, we will be reading in the synagogue the portion of Metzora, which can be found in the book of Leviticus chapter 12 and following, and is continuation of last week's portion of Tazria, and in a non-leap year, which they call that a plain year, they are read together, so it's a single unit, but in being that we need four extra weeks, so this one got split. Whose idea was that? I think it was God's, actually. Moses was told by God, listen, during a leap year, you're going to need four extra weeks, so these are the portions that you're going to split. Bada bing, bada boom. Okay, fine. One of the things that it talks about in this portion is tzaras. This is an early warning system, which in the first portion, last week's portion, was talked about when people getting it on their bodies. In this week's portion, it's talked about getting it on their houses. And indeed, what's the deal with getting a warning on your house? This was like sort of a mold. It was a red or reddish, greenish, brownish mold growing on the bricks of the house or on the plaster, as the case may be. They didn't have fiberglass back then, so or plastic walls or particle board. They didn't do that. The Kohen would need to inspect, that's the priest, would descendant of Aaron, would need to inspect and declare, yes, this is stuff. And then they would have to remove, they couldn't scrub it off. They had to remove the bricks and take them out and basically outside the camp and just like dump them in a dump outside the camp where all these other bricks which were afflicted were. So it was... It's a big hassle because everything in the house became ritually impure. So what people had to do is they had to empty out their houses before the Kohen came, because until the Kohen came, it wasn't considered tzaras. It was nothing until it was proclaimed. In fact, the Kohen himself would walk in, walk out, and then say, oh, by the way, that was. So that if he was inside and he said, yep, that's it, he would have himself would have to go to the mikveh for purification. So it was a big bother. There's an interesting law that said that when it got close to Passover, they wouldn't bother the Kohanim because they didn't want people to have to, like, deal with this business of emptying the house and taking out the bricks and putting in new bricks, etc., etc., around the Passover holiday. It's because it would disturb the preparation and disturb the joy of the holiday. So they would push it off of this. If it went away by itself, nothing to worry about. And if it was still there, it was still going to be there afterwards. Comes along now the idea, well, this early warning can't affect a Passover, for example, then, is the way that it was determined. So that means that a Jew's Passover supersedes a warning. What does that mean? Very interesting concept. The whole idea of Passover is to relate to God in a way that God related to us at the time of the Exodus, whereby all the laws of nature were basically superseded to move 4 or 5 million people and all their stuff, 120 kilometers in the blink of an eye, took a little bit more than, say, a light rail system. The laws of nature were suspended because it was more important that people relate to the Almighty in an essential way. And this week's portion coming now, a week before Passover,
As an indication, yeah, okay, so we have this early warning system. And yes, there were blessings that came with it that sometimes they would take out the bricks and they would find that it was a fake wall. And there was real treasures that were buried behind this wall by the previous owner who thought that the Jews are just going to get destroyed by their armies and they're going to come back. But in the meantime, so they never came back. It, like, history repeats itself. And the stuff is all hidden there. So, but the portion that is saying, yeah, you have this situation that needs to be dealt with, but because we're reading it before Passover, we're not going to let it affect our relationship with God. And indeed, maybe it's a time, if a person sees such a thing like this or saw such a thing like this, it would be a time for them to start thinking, because that's the whole thing, what it's for, this whole business with this taras, with this plague, was to get people to start thinking, what do I need to correct? What do I need to do better? And Passover is all about just doing it a little bit better than yesterday. We have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's a symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to The Jewish Hour. If you'd like to get in touch with me, the best way is to go to my website, rabbifinman.com. And there you'll be able to contact me because it's right on the homepage. Especially now, if you're looking for special shmura matzah, which we talked about at the beginning of the show, or if you're looking for a Seder, then, or if you have any kind of Passover questions for sure, then this is the time. It says that one of the reasons rabbis don't go anywhere for Passover is because somebody's got to stick around and ask the questions. So we're here for you. Take advantage. You'll also find archives editions of this show, other ways in which we present Judaism in an interesting and entertaining way. And there's also the donations page. I know it's Passover. There's the expenses. Tell me about the expenses of Passover. It's like, whoa. But you've listened this far already. I mean, we're over 50 minutes in, and you're still here. So you've enjoyed till now. So you can help us out. You know, a donation of whatever, $10, fine, great, okay? Or make it a monthly donation, if that's what you can do. You can do that all on the website. Just make it monthly so you don't even think about it until your credit card expires. Or however you like to do it, because we need to, you need us, in other words. You're listening to us. And we're part of a charitable organization. We have done this for 30 years, every single week, this requesting for funds to keep us on air because we need your help. So come help us. Thank you very much in advance. Story involves the city of Apta, which I believe is located somewhere in Poland. I think southern Poland in like the Galicia area. Somebody can contact me on RabbiFinman.com and tell me exactly where Apta used to be, because I don't think it exists anymore. The famous tzaddik there was Avram Yehoshua Heschel of Apta. And he was also known as the Ohev Yisrael, the person who loved everyone. So it happened that in the next town over from Apta, which that city doesn't even have a name in this story, there lived a Jew who decided to give it all up and go pursue another religion, the local state religion of the country of Poland. And he did pretty good with himself. He was a smart Jew. And he did pretty well in this new religion, rose to the ranks, got himself a government job, and eventually wound himself up as an advisor, a ministerial position to the king. No small feat. He hated Judaism. And he would do whatever he could to try to convince or try to get anything back at this antiquated, outdated religion that he left because he was enlightened and he saw that the way it's supposed to be, and he wanted everybody else to do the same thing. So he really went, he was a real thorn in the side of the Jewish community, this guy. So it happened one day that the king decided, the king needed to call his advisors. And so there are all these ministers. And it happened to be around now, that in the time of the year, he called a meeting, and they were talking about various things that were happening in Poland, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And a minister got up, and he said that in his town, there was a young girl, a teenage girl, who had gone to the well to fetch water and never returned. And the word on the street was is that she was kidnapped and murdered by the Jews, and her blood was used in the making of matzah. This blood libel is what was known. Went back, I think the first blood libel might have been in the 1100s. The last blood libel was like 1906, when they accused Jews of killing a Christian child for the making of using its blood in the matzah. So, and many Jews were killed because of this nonsense. So they wanted to do some kind of edict against the Jews. Good. So they drew up a whole proposal, and all the ministers had to sign it. When it came time for this apostate Jew to sign it, he couldn't do it. He said, I know this to be. He stood up, and he said, I know this to be 100% false. I was raised with Jews. I hate Jews. But Jews are not allowed to eat blood of an animal, and for sure not the blood of a human. This is absolutely 100% false. It is only an anti-Semitic diatribe, and it can never be allowed to happen such a thing. And he gave a very passionate speech, and they all knew how much he hated the Jews, and that here he was standing up for him, so they decided, okay, we're not going to follow through. Jewish community saved. Guy went home. He couldn't sleep. It bothered him. Here it was, this is the first time, and who knows how long, that he had defended the Jews. And he decided that he really needed to get back to his Judaism, and that this business that he was involved, no, that wasn't it. It wasn't for him. So he picked himself up and went to the next town in the middle of the night. People don't go traveling in the middle of the night. You got boogeymen out there. And there's no streetlights, and it's dark, but he traveled to the next town of Apt, and he found the Apt Rebbe's house, and the Apt Rebbe, of course, was awake, saw the light and the thing, and he knocked on the door. And the Apt opened the door and saw who it was, and he thought, oh no, what does this guy want from me? And he said, I have no time for you, I can't talk to you. He said, Rebbe, please, I need to speak with you. So the Apt Rebbe, there was a stick lying on the ground. See, the Apt Rebbe said, when there'll be grass growing from that stick, I will talk to you. And immediately, the stick sprouted grass. The Apt saw this. He said, oh, this is different. This is Twilight Zone. Invited him in. And the man poured out his heart that he had told him what had happened and that he was ready to give up his new life and go back. And he wanted a whole path how to come back to Judaism. And Apt listened to him, the Reverend Yeshua Heschel, listened to him and told him that this is what this and this is what he needed to do. A month went by, and the man's house burned to the ground. Excuse me. He lost everything, but he was fine. So he ran back to the Apt Rebbe and said, what happened? He said, I think it's a sign from above that God is willing to accept your repentance and you should move to another town. That's the story. We hope you had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope you had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope you have a great week. We hope to see you back again next. Back again next week. Take care.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.